Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I approve this message.
I got the magic in me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the show starts now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you joining us on a Wednesday on The Big Show. We've covered the gamut today. We've talked Rockets. Obviously, it was the dunk that wasn't, got us started today. And obviously, we've talked college football. Haven't talked a whole lot about the Texans, but we've got a little in there. Troy wants to get in here right now, talk about everybody's favorite topic these days, Bill O'Brien. Troy, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, I got a comment for Barry and a question for Joel. What woman doesn't want a shark vacuum for Christmas?
I don't know what I'm saying about that.
Things are nice.
That's what I'm saying, Troy. Talk some sense into my wife for me, please.
I don't understand it. Joe,
yeah.
My question is, and you may have already answered this question scenario, as critical as you are of Bill O'Brien, straight up, you're trading for Jason Garrett, I'll hang up and listen.
Absolutely not. I'm not.
So, in the pecking order, and if you were ranking coaches, you take Bill O'Brien over Jason Garrett.
Yeah, I would.
I'm with you.
I would agree, too.
For as much crap as we've give Bill O'Brien, the fact of the matter is that outside of his 4-12 season, he's had winning seasons every year he's been here. And I realize that his record is close to 500, and I get all that. But what I've loved this year is he looks like a guy to me that has evolved. He has not been so rigid in his offense and in his play calling. Now, how much credit he gets and how much the OC gets and all that. But the fact of the matter is the offense is different. The play calling is different. He looks like he's evolved some as a coach, and I respect that.
And matured some as a coach. Because The one thing that I'll say is, for as many times as Bill O'Brien has had downs as opposed to ups, right? He's had some down times, okay? He's never lost the respect of his players. His players have always had his back, whether right or wrong, whether mistake or not.
Most cases.
For the most part, they've never thrown him under the bus and run him over. Jason Garrett can't even get high fives from his own players coming off the field. And for as much as we're critical of the fact that, look, he treats the media a certain way and has an arrogance about him when he hasn't won or done the things that his mentor Bill Belichick has done, but the fact that he has learned from Bill Belichick, has mentored under Bill Belichick, and was a coordinator under Bill Belichick, definitely helps him a lot more than saying, well, Jason Garrett, you know, he was in the Cowboys system, and then he's basically done whatever the owner / general manager has said for his entire time in Dallas. Whether you liked it or not, and I've definitely not liked him being the general manager and the head coach, he's shown that he has control of both positions, and he has respect in his locker room.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's respected, and there are people nationally that advocate for Bill O'Brien because they're like, look, all the guy has done is won. He's 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, 12-4, 4-12. Right. And he had the one bad 4-12 year, and I totally get that, and it needs to be discussed because it was an ugly year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, when you look back at the futility before he got here of this organization, he's been a step up, right?
Yeah,
I think overall, and with no quarterback to his own doing for the most part.
The frustration was the quarterback whisper label, and you know, the 14 different quarterbacks in and out that didn't perform well.
And we still don't know whose idea it was to go get Deshaun Watson. Was it his? Was it Rick Smith's? Was it theirs? Was it, you know, McNair's? Was it? We don't know, and we'll never know. But the fact of the matter is, he's taken a guy with the kind of skill set that Deshaun Watson has, and he has modified his way of doing an offense. To kind of like what happened in Baltimore, where they were like, okay, let's figure this out because we've got this amazing gifted player. How can we best utilize it? Kind of like what the Rockets did with James Harden. What do you do? We'll build an offense around this star, and then we'll just see what happens. And that's kind of what they've done, and it's looked good so far.
I think also, too, even if you think, even if your opinion is that Jason Garrett is a better head coach than Bill O'Brien, you got to remember that even if that trade does happen, which I don't think it would, he's walking in a completely different O-line. He doesn't have a Zeke. He doesn't have the on and off that is Dak Prescott. It's just a completely different dynamic, and sure you don't know how he's going to approach that O-line, that quarterback situation. And the fact that the running back situation has never been terrible, I don't think. Like, really, really bad for the Texans. But it's clearly not the running back situation that the Cowboys have.
Well, you forget the years of Ron Dane.
I was going to say.
Some of those guys.
Ben Tate.
Yeah. No, under Bill O'Brien's tenure. Ben Tate was my guy.
Yeah?
He get in some trouble?
What was the old boy from LSU that changed his name and had a great rookie season and then just was never the same?
Oh. Who was 23 earlier on? Was it him?
I think that's who it was, yeah. And then Arian took it from him?
I think Arian took over for Ben Tate.
I'm saying, but Arian took 23.
Oh, yeah. The number, yeah. I think, but I'm pretty sure Foster took over for Ben Tate.
They were playing in tandem, too, right? They were playing together.
Ben Tate got to be hated at the end.
Yeah, he did.
No, yeah, look, here's the other thing. Don't judge Bill O'Brien on his general manager skills. Just judge him as a coach.
Right.
Because of the fact that, look, we all know the shortcomings are there as a general manager. Because the trade, we knew what he was doing. We knew the intent was there to get a left tackle, to obviously add depth to his receiver, to get a Stills, and to get a Laremy Tunsil. But the fact of the matter is, an experienced general manager would have already gotten a deal done with an extension for Tunsil, so you don't have that as a worry, even though you made a hell of a trade and gave away a lot of draft picks to get him. Who is it?
So I pulled up a list of Texans running backs. Ranker has a list for everything, which is usually our go-to on Way Back Wednesday.
Yep.
We're all being honest. Yep. But Ranker has the Texans running backs ranked, right? Now, obviously, Arian Foster is one. Mm-hmm. Lamar Miller is two.
Yeah.
But, boy, this is going to take you down a trip down memory lane. And Ben Tate isn't even mentioned in the top 10. Number three?
Yeah.
Steve Slayton.
Oh, wow. West Virginia.
Yeah. Number four, Dominic Williams.
Is that who I was thinking of?
It might have been.
I think so.
Number five, Alfred Blue.
Wow.
Yep.
The fact that Alfred Blue's five is not saying a lot for your franchise.
Number six, Deontay Foreman. Number seven, Ron Dane.
Wait, Deontay Foreman registered that high and he barely played?
Now, remember, Ranker is a people vote. So Deontay was probably bored one, off day. Which
the
is
Heisman
pretty much
Trophy
every
winner
day.
From Wisconsin, Ron Dane, who ate himself out of the league.
Ron Dane, number seven. Jay Prosh, number eight.
He's a fullback.
Number nine, Jonathan Wells. Is that who you were thinking of? Jonathan Wells?
It was Williams.
It was. And number 10, Wally Lundy.
Okay.
From 2000s.
Boy, that stacks up favorably with the likes of the Bears with...
But man,
Peyton
Steve Slayton, Dominic Williams, and Alfred Blue. Steve Slayton was not who I was thinking of. Dominic Williams.
It was Dominic Williams. Yeah. And I want to say that somehow or another, he either changed his first name.
2003, or, 4, and 5, right?
Yeah, he started out really, really, really good.
Yeah. But, another thing I saw the other day was the Madden curse and the Madden covers. And do you remember the kid from Cleveland? Was it? I was trying to remember but it was like this flash in the pan from Cleveland. Peyton Hillis.
The big white kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, big overly muscular kid.
Peyton Hillis has a breakout year, makes the Madden cover.
And then he was going to hold out for money and everything.
Never to be heard from again.
I remember
that. I was
him.
Like, wow, yeah. Madden didn't get very selective there.
Yeah, I totally remember that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's the final hour of The Usual Suspects. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been a customer of Infuse Energy for 3 years now. I just renewed, and why wouldn't I? Because they save me thousands off of the bills that I used to get from my previous energy provider. They make sure that the customers are the focus, and they take the time to ask you as many questions as you ask them so they can find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, is it for your business or your home, and they go until they can find the best plan and the best rate they can possibly get you. They're 100% honest, which means even if there's a rare occasion when another company out there can beat their prices, they're going to let you know, because they, you may not go with them this time, but you'll go with them down the road because they were upfront with you throughout the entire proceedings. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, and they'll take it from there. They've got great customer service, and so much so that they got a 5 out of 5-star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's the best you can get. They got it. You want it. You get your energy from Infuse. CEO Josh Pesikoff and his staff doing fantastic work, Houston-based, Houston-focused. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. I'm telling you, folks, infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I see the love is flowing on the different avenues.
Well, somebody said I had a small penis on the text line.
The one black guy on the show, and you have the small penis.
See what you're, now you're bringing that back.
Great.
Somebody said, Barry, don't worry about making babies when you're hung like a house mouse you won't produce.
It's not very nice. Tyler.
And I don't even have a third leg to stand on this one, so I'm not going to argue. And Demetrius sends a list of reasons why I would want a kid, and none of those mean anything to me. He includes someone to play video games with. This is why I don't play online, because I don't want to play with a 13-year-old that whips my ass and then talks mess to me.
Barry would be so frustrated playing online.
You got Nick for that.
I don't, that and all those other reasons you listed mean nothing to me. So for that reason, I'm out. No kids.
Play online once. I'd like to videotape that.
Oh, my God.
You would be so
angry. You guys
angry.
Know how little patience I have already. Oh, are you kidding? No, thank you.
Like, I'm not a very good gamer online. My brother is, so I like, what I like to do is have him play, and then I take the headset and do all the trash talking as if I was playing.
I could see that being smart. Fun. Yeah.
That is really fun.
That's all I want to do is talk trash, but you have to be able to win, so I'm not going to do that. No, thank you.
Okay. Did you guys see this little spat going on between Paul Feinbaum and Dabo Swinney?
Yeah. I mean, say that Feinbaum was completely wrong.
No, and honestly, it's a lot of what we talk about dealing with here, because we're always like in the crosshairs of people. We open ourselves up for people to be critical of us, right?
Yeah, no one would ever text this show and say, I cry in the corner, would they?
Or have a small penis.
No one would do that.
No, that's just out of the realm of possibilities. So Feinbaum was talking about the fact that Dabo Swinney had a press conference, which he's done several times, in which he says, look, the committee wants us out. He made the point that South Carolina beat Georgia, but they did everything in their power to try and keep South Carolina relevant. If Clemson had lost that game, they would be out. They want us out. They don't want us in the Final Four. And essentially, he was whining a little bit. And Paul Feinbaum basically said he's a crybaby. And that, you know, he called it like he said. He has a job to do. So he was analyzing, and they asked him what they thought of Dabo's comments and the way he handled it and all of that. And he basically, you know, Feinbaum basically said he's a crybaby. So if you're Dabo, look, that's one man's opinion. You can let it go or you can comment on it. And Dabo decided to comment on it. And he went nuts.
He did.
And he just said, you know, from time to time, he barked out at Feinbaum. And he said, look, he's great at what he does, but he's an SEC guy. Yeah. He works for an SEC-based job. So he's going to do what he does. He's like, you know. From the standpoint of us winning and obviously everything that goes on with games, they would love to kick us out of the playoff. They don't want us in there anyway. We dropped to 20, you know, and he went on. And so the fact that he said Dabo on Feinbaum, he works for the SEC. That's what he does. That's his job. I would never be upset at a person because he does a great job. Paul Feinbaum is great at what he does, obviously being sarcastic.
Why does he think that the committee doesn't want him in?
I really don't know.
I'm confused. He said they dropped the 20.
They would drop them to 20 if they lost. Yeah.
The committee?
Yeah, he feels that way. And obviously it's tongue-in-cheek, but he's doing the woe-is-me thing. You know, some coaches do it the overly confident. Some coaches do the woe-is-me. Obviously, with the fact that they haven't played a strong schedule, and a lot of it is based on the fact that their conference schedule is weak, there's going to be people that are critical of it. And Dabo's final comment was, you don't worry about criticism from people you wouldn't seek advice from.
That was, I was about to say, the only thing I really liked from Dabo's rant was that quote. You don't worry about criticism from people you wouldn't seek advice from, which is spot on. Like, if I don't care what you think, if I don't care enough that you, what you think about me to come and ask you, I'm not going to care when you just volunteer it.
Well, and after Feinbaum called him a crybaby, he also implied that he needed a pacifier and a timeout, to which Dabo replied, I'd love a Happy Days lunchbox, a bologna sandwich, and a nap during timeout.
Well, he took the high road there, because you certainly could have. If you're Paul Feinbaum and you're going to start taking shots like that, you're starting to make it a little personal.
Yeah, people are going to rip your appearance and what exactly. You look like. And
you're not exactly the most handsome man in the world. And yeah, you're an SEC honk, so you've got plenty of your own faults. But good for Dabo for taking the high road there. He could have went full on crybaby at that point, but he didn't. So I don't know. It seems kind of silly, to be honest with you. But I don't understand why Dabo's doing this woe is me, everyone's out to get us. You're ranked third, and you have no resume. Your resume is you're undefeated.
Right.
And okay, again, there are two other teams that are undefeated.
And you haven't played anybody.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You have no resume, but you're undefeated. The other two undefeated teams have a resume. They're battle-tested. What's going to happen when LSU or Ohio State comes out and punches Clemson in the mouth in the first quarter? LSU's had to play teams like Bama, right? Like, Ohio State has one of the toughest schedules in the country because they play in the Big Ten, and they've had big games. And they I mean, if he wants to be real, you haven't played anybody, bro. You should be the third-ranked.
You beat an A&M team that you were hoping was going to have a good year.
Yeah,
to
they're
be
garbage.
Yeah, and it just hasn't worked
they're
out.
They're garbage. You're the best. You're the third-best undefeated team in the country. That's what you are, and that's where you're ranked.
Yeah.
Period. Why are you crying?
And every coach handles it differently. You would get Harbaugh with having the tough guy approach. Yeah. And he'd be like, you know what, all we can do is play the games. And, you know, basically we're just here to worry about Michigan playing football. And then we'll worry about where we fit in the rankings at the end. And you get Dabo doing it a different way.
Yeah.
But it's hard to feel sorry for a guy that has played in the national title multiple times in the last couple of years and won it, you know, and won it. So you just, you know, everybody's different.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it's this whole, I don't know. To me, the eye test is the eye test. And, but also, you got to look at, has any of these teams been, have they beaten anybody of consequence that you're looking at putting in the playoffs? And until they get there, I mean, until they play Virginia, who's going to be, I think they're 23rd right now.
Yeah, but are they really any good?
I mean, okay,
they're not,
yeah.
Clemson good. They're not.
That'll be their, this game will be Clemson's biggest test. And boy, I tell you what, Dabo better hope that they blow the doors off of Virginia.
Well, and that's the thing, too, because if you're Clemson, you don't want to slide down to four and have to play Ohio State right off the top.
Well, they're not going to slide down unless they lose. And then if they lose, they're probably out.
It's a close game.
No. You're not sliding. You're not. I mean, unless Georgia absolutely beats LSU.
Because they're undefeated, you're saying. It doesn't matter as long as they stay undefeated.
Right. I mean, who are you going to move ahead of them? You're not going to leapfrog Utah, OU, or Baylor at the end of this weekend.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, obviously Clemson has
if
had
they
a,
win,
has
they're solidified in the third
powder
spot.
Puff schedule for the most part, but they're going to be either two or three. And if you're not, and between LSU and Ohio State, you want to avoid being in a game with them in the semis.
And I heard this morning, since we were here early, I passed Granato and AJ in the hall arguing. Granato's like, "Why do you love Clemson so much?" And he's like, "Watch, they're gonna, you know." I can't use the words AJ used. It certainly wasn't office appropriate or radio appropriate.
Shocker.
But he was basically saying that Clemson's going to give everybody the business in these playoffs.
They are good.
They're good.
But look, Trevor Lawrence has had a lot of shortcomings. Trevor Lawrence had the luxury of slipping up and making a lot of horrible throws in games this year. But because they were playing piss-poor opponents, they were able to recover. He was able to learn from his mistakes. They were able to win football games. But if you do that in the SEC, chances are you're going to pay the price in one of those games if you're going to slip up like that.
Yep.
And that's the point being made. Shout out, by the way, to Tyler and others who correctly made the Dominic Davis.
Yep.
Then it was Dominic Williams. And that's when his entire career fell off. He was good when he was Dominic Davis. Right?
That's right.
And Lane Kiffin, Florida Atlantic. okay, you win. And
yeah, one
if he
person
gets the Arkansas job, then we win.
One person cared we didn't get that right, and they texted. So
it's okay. So, by the way, did you see Mante Teo is back in the NFL? I don't know if it's with or without the invisible girlfriend.
I was going to say, did you see that he posted a picture of an actual woman on his Instagram?
Recently, right?
Good for you, buddy.
Yeah. It's about time that you can turn your invisible friends into real-time partners.
I think if there was any kind of balance in the universe, and I don't know if Catfish Hunter has a daughter, but if he would have dated Catfish Hunter's daughter, that would have been outstanding.
Did you want to explain that to the people?
No, I don't.
There's a lot of people that don't know who Catfish Hunter is.
If you didn't get it, it wasn't for you, and I don't care. How about okay. that? There are old men in their car right now going, ha, ha, ha.
Exactly.
Oh, where's the Pepto? Because they're old, and that's what old men do. They just drink Pepto and eat Tums. But there are some old men that got that joke.
Teo, 28, was out of the NFL this year after spending the last 2 years in New Orleans. Back in New Orleans, Saints needed depth at the linebacker position. So they went to a guy that they know, and he will be back in the league.
Cool.
There you go.
Go Saints.
Don't let NFL. No. Okay, Clarence. All right, so we're going to have a half hour to go in the show when we come back. Take a quick break, and then we'll bring it to you. Coming up next, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Wednesday. No, we didn't do Way Back Wednesday. Yes, it's a possibility we do something tomorrow. We'll let you know if we do. If not, hey, every now and then, it's okay to take the week off.
I'm not.
No Way Back Thursday?
No.
Throwback Thursday. Get it right.
Same.
Brokeback Thursday.
Throwback Thursday.
Why are you wanting a Brokeback Thursday?
Well, that's what I said. You always got to twist it.
Twist what? Why are you wanting me to twist it? Is that part of Brokeback Thursday?
Have fun, Twitter. Have fun, text
messages. That's about what's about to happen. Yeah, for sure.
No, totally. They'll just
a bunch of chill.
Be nice to Joel. I just took 5 years of his life.
You actually didn't, and I barely reacted like you wanted me to.
I the video wasn't as good as I. Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, and no one does, I went to the restroom during the break, and I walked back into the studio to where the door was closed. No, I took a leak, Barry. Okay. If you have to know, did you want to twist it? And so as I'm walking back in, normally the studio door is left open. It was closed. I didn't think anything of it. I opened it. Nick was hiding behind the door and tried to
scare me. And I didn't know any of that was happening.
Yelling,
I just want to be on the record.
While Snagglepuss was over here going,
nope.
at the desk. And I guess I didn't jump high enough and react loud enough for Nick. He was disappointed in the reaction.
Yeah, I wanted to tweet out the video.
Paybacks are going to be something.
Oh,
I mean, it was actually Barry's idea, but his big ass couldn't fit behind the door.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. He couldn't fit behind the door.
It was any opportunity I get to take a wide open free shot at either one of you
guys. You weren't going to fit behind the door, Barry. Come on.
It was my idea. It was my idea. I will give you credit because you were just like, hey, like your one leg came up in self-defense, but you kept it moving.
Yeah, was it? It wasn't that bad.
Not bad. I would have been like, I would have screamed like a girl. So you handled that well.
Thank you.
I'm impressed.
I think, again, kids probably set you up for that. Because there's times you're watching TV and you're like falling asleep in the big chair and it's about 10 o'clock and Taylor will come around the corner and you have no idea and your eyes are
jump
like shut.
Jumping
like, Daddy, wow, yeah. Hey. Taylor, right here for you. Wide awake and ready to go. What do you need? All right. Okay. I'm just watching football. So, Nick, you can chime in on this. Willie Nelson's been touring, but if you missed it, I think even here he's been postponing shows. And we know that he has been pretty adamant about admitting to the fact that he is a consistent marijuana user.
Boy.
Right?
That would be an understatement.
Like him and Snoop Dogg, two of the poster children for weed.
And Snoop actually said, they sat down once to see who could out-high the other one.
Okay.
And Snoop tapped. He was like, I would have never thought that anyone on this planet could smoke more weed than me, but I absolutely cannot hang with Willie Nelson.
So the country icon whose smoking habits have obviously been side by side with Snoop was quoted as saying, I have abused my lungs quite a bit in the past, so breathing is a little more difficult these days, and I have to be careful. He's 86 years old. He says, I don't smoke anymore. I take better care of myself. Now, I ask you, does that mean that he's going to go to gummies?
Well, that's the thing is he going to go edibles, or is he just off of the weed altogether?
He didn't reveal how he consumes it now. I would imagine it has to be edibles. But you have to remember, he started smoking cigarettes in an era where there was a lot of cigarette smoking, and True. He did it at a very young age. So my unexpert opinion, would make the argument that the reason why he can't smoke is because of his cigarette smoking in his earlier years. But
Well, wouldn't it be compounding? Would the smoke now would just compound the damage done by that you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Especially as much as he smokes.
He said he once smoked, he's allegedly smoked weed on the roof of the White House?
Oh, everywhere, yeah.
I believe that.
Well, Clinton? Huh? Which president has taken him on the roof and smoking a joint?
Probably. In the 70s or in the 80s, I could see something like that.
Yeah, probably more than one, to be honest.
Or even now, actually.
I mean, if I'm going to bet, I'd say Clinton.
He's a legend, and, you know, to his credit, great musician. But I always look at Willie Nelson. I mean, he looks like he stinks. I bet he would stink if you met him. Right?
Bill Worrell is a personal friend of his.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And? Have you met him? Does he stink?
I have not met him.
He's 86 years old.
Yeah, I have not met him. But they used to do it, and they used to do a big Daryl Royal.
Did Bill ever?
Willie, Billy, and Daryl, I think it was. Something. They used to do a big golf tournament and event in Austin, the three of them, with Daryl Royal, the ex-UT coach, and Bill Worrell and Willie Nelson and all those. But I know that Bill's close with him.
This picture in the article, that's a lot of weed.
His son is
he's got a pizza tray full of weed.
He really does.
I regret not going to Snoop Dogg's ranch when I was in L.A., because apparently it's just like weed heaven there.
Oh, really?
It's just ridiculous.
Not that you would partake, but you've heard.
Right.
It's worth like looking at as a tourist,
it's
right?
It's not. I mean, he even has studios like for live bands. He has studios for rappers. Like, it's a whole massive ranch. It's really cool.
Willie Nelson's son is now a musician, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe I saw him on like Lisa Head on the
That's
Today
how he's
going to
be remembered.
Like
but Willie Nelson's son.
Yeah.
Like you Jordan ain't filling son. Those shoes?
No. I don't think anybody really is going to fill those shoes. He's been successful for so long. But I think that, you know, any time that you can spin off your parents just to make a dollar, I'm sure he's going to make a living doing it. He may not. Obviously, he's not going to put up the numbers and the hits that Willie Nelson had.
No way.
I mean, that's rare that you get that. Look at Michael Jordan's kids.
Bob Marley.
I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, when you look at in terms of both in athletics and even in entertainment, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone that did it to the level or better than their parents. Jordan's kids did not. I mean, the two that always come to mind as success stories, Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's really, you see more failures than you do success stories.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I'm sure we could sit here and start to we've done in the past, but yeah, you're right.
That's probably the one thing I agree with LeVar Ball about, like how like crappier players produce better kids as athletes. You know what I mean? Like if you didn't have an unbelievable career at the professional level, usually the kids are better. You know, like Del Curry, Steph Curry.
Del Curry had a hell of a career.
Yeah,
Del Curry's kind of borderline Hall of Fame. Look at his three-point shooting percentage and all those numbers, Nick.
No, he was an unbelievable three-point shooter. You're putting him in the Hall of Fame?
I said borderline. I mean, I mean, he's fringy, but he was an all-star, sixth man of the year. Del Curry did some things now.
Peyton Manning, somebody mentioned. Yeah, let's not go down this path again. We've done this like 9 times on the show, right?
Probably.
I don't know how many times we've done it, but I'm just saying, look, I mean, you'd be hard. You'd find more failures than you would success
Absolutely.
Stories, right?
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah, and to Nick, your point, the one thing I know is I had a friend of mine that was a college standout that was in the NBA, so like fringe player, right? But he had some medical issues. The exact opposite. The crazy thing was his son, who should have taken every bit of advice on this worked for me, this didn't, this is where, you know, things fell a little bit short for me, learned from it and really succeeded. He wanted to talk and learn and work on basketball with me and a buddy of mine that we played City League with more than learning from and listening to his old man. And because of it, he failed miserably.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I can felt like happened. He knew it all. He was telling us, I'm going to play 1 year in college, then I'm going to go pro. I'm probably at the worst going to be like a second-round NBA draft pick. He didn't even make his college team.
Yeesh.
So I think that every situation is different, But yeah, it's tough to find people that get their kids to succeed. Like Juwan Howard. I was talking to a friend of mine that's related to Juwan Howard. And he's doing great now as his first year head coach at Michigan.
Oh, cool.
But he used to live here. And his sons are in high school now. His two sons may buck the trend there because mm-hmm. his two sons have already gotten. One is, I think, a senior, and the other one is only like in 10th grade. But they already have like 5, 6, 7 D1 offers.
Wow.
So, I mean, the fact that you can get your two kids to get to college for free is always a good sign that they might have some ability.
Look, Josh Rapp is upset with you, Nicholas.
Uh-oh.
He said, don't you dare disparage the good name of DC from 3, one of my all-time favorites.
I mean, I think he was a really good player. And I do remember him being an all-star. I don't remember the six-man part, but I do remember him being an all-star. But, yeah, I just don't – but he didn't say he was a Hall of Famer. I thought he did. He was saying borderline, which I can kind of see because of his three-point shooting percentage. I didn't know he was that big of a Dell Curry fan.
I don't know that he's ever going to get in, but you could do a lot worse in terms of having a guy that, instead of being like a journeyman that played like a Tony Massenburg, who played for like 14, or Chucky Brown, one of those guys that like set the record for most teams played for in an NBA career. Hey, I'm Tony Massenburg. I played in the NBA for 14 years. I played for 17 teams or something like that. You're like, yeah, that's not a good indication that you were a hell of a player, but you could fill a role for a short period of time.
You stuck around.
Yeah.
You had gumption.
His last name.
Last I checked, though, gumption's not in the box score. Well, that guy had a lot of gumption.
Right?
That guy.
The intangibles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy right there.
Tony Massenburg was a Rocket, and he was a Spur, and he took more grief because of his last name and the plays on words they did with it as they associated with a female product than they did for the fact that dude played a long time in the NBA.
Yeah.
Chucky Brown won a ring.
It's crazy.
You know?
By the way, my buddy Justin Trapp brought up a guy, LeBron. He said LeBron's son looks like he's going to be really
LeBron
good.
LeBron and yeah. D. Wade's
the kid. Others suck. The other son sucks. He's not that good, right?
Well, you only got to have one good one, right?
LeBron?
I think the other one, only one of them has a chance to make it.
Well, Bronny is the oldest, yeah. And he's supposed to have the most talent. He's playing with D. Wade's kid now. They're playing high school ball together. Their high school games are on TV.
That's
on a regular
crazy.
Basis, right?
And that's just because of
but
his dad.
Supposedly, they both can play. Wade's kid, LeBron's kid, and Kenyon Martin's kid, along with Scottie Pippen's kid. They're all in high school now.
Paul Bosch.
Chris Bosch.
Chris Bosch have kids?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I think those four guys, are playing high school ball. Obviously, Kenyon Martin, Scottie Pippen, D. Wade, and Bron's kid are all playing high school ball in California now, and they're all supposed to be very, very good.
I loved Kenyon Martin when he was playing.
He
was a legit player.
He was nasty because he would fight you.
Yeah.
And he was great at protecting the rim and rebounding. That's for sure.
And he kind of shattered his leg and still played basketball. Like, guy's kind of a tough guy.
He was at Cincinnati. Yeah. And he was all world at Cincinnati his senior year or whatever it was. So, all right, we're going to head to break and then put a bow on it and wrap it up, turn it over to the Blitz next segment. But before we do, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. I've been telling you about them for quite a while now. 5 Houston area locations, and the fact that when you go to one of the Twin Peaks locations, you do know the fact that the made-from-scratch appetizers and main courses are going to treat you right. The 29-degree beer are going to be just right. And, of course, the beautiful Twin Peaks girls are going to wait on you hand and foot while you're at your table of choice. And at that table, you're going to be able to pick the screens that have the games and the packages you want to see. You watch NBA on one channel. You can watch college football on another channel. Maybe you want to watch Premier League soccer or something else on another channel. They'll take care of all of it because that's what they do at Twin Peaks. If you want to get out of the house and take care of all the details that you don't want to deal with at the house and be free and clear to just watch sports, the best place to go is Twin Peaks. 5 area Houston locations, and they all do the same thing for you. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. I've been telling you guys, it's got to be Twin Peaks.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to wrap things up on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Wednesday in the big city. As we always tell you, go to ESPN 97.5.com if you missed any of today's show. You can click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects at the top of the page. You can catch up on the hours that you missed. And while you're there at the front page, you can also see and follow directions on how to download the app. Then you can take us anywhere, everywhere. Never miss any portions of the show, and we appreciate that.
I highly recommend you only listen to the parts where I did good.
So basically, then just don't do it. That being said,
somebody says it's kind of harsh. Barry LeBron's other son is 11 years old. I never said anything.
That was Nick, but you guys do sound alike.
No, it was Barry, and that was harsh, and you were really insensitive. No, I didn't know how old. I from what I understood, only one of the sons had the potential to be.
There is no way that the three of us sound the same.
Wade or Bron, because I've heard that one of Dwayne Wade's sons, the oldest one, can play. I heard his other son may not even want to play. But from LeBron's standpoint, I know Bronny can play. I haven't heard anything about the younger, so I don't know. You guys good with this?
Basketball players? I don't get that. Why does Clarence want to talk about that? Well, we'll hear him out because he's Clarence. I mean, I don't care. It's up to you guys.
Is that what we're doing now? Is that what we're doing? We're just going to get him a pass to talk about whatever he wants because
this better be
Clarence.
Is there something big
Clarence,
about the
Clarence, I'm going to tell you right now.
This better be good.
This better be good because the fact that it says Suns basketball
and
players.
No one cares.
Oh, let's put it on the intern. I would say that's sons of basketball players.
Oh, really?
I'm going to try and interpret that. Hey!
Oh, no.
It's the intern.
Poor intern.
Interns. S-U-N-S.
What up, Clarence?
What up, guys? So here's a question. What are the chances that one of those four guys y'all mentioned go the Jeffrey Jordan route? Like, you got all this expectation because you're the son of a legendary basketball player and you can't live up to it.
Well, I think the chances are pretty good that probably at least one of them doesn't live up to expectations.
I think the chances are good that none of them live up to expectations, but that doesn't mean they won't be successful.
I mean, the only one that's got a shot of surpassing expectations of their dad probably legitimately is Kenyon Martin. When you talk about Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Scottie Pippen, those are pretty damn big shoes to fill.
There's a lot of hype around Bronny.
I get that.
And Shaq's kid. Let's not forget about Shaq's kid, too.
Shaq's kid, again, was set back, unfortunately, by a heart operation that he needed.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But he is now playing. Or he was due. I think he's playing this year. So he had to sit out last year. He'll be back. But I'm saying those four kids that were all playing high school basketball at the same time that are playing right now in California, high school, Shaq's kid's in college now. So you take Kenyon Martin's kid,
all the
Dwayne Wade, LeBron.
No, you're right, though. Because the ceiling isn't necessarily the roof for Kenyon Martin's kid.
Is it like
kid.
Once a show you're going to get that in now?
I mean, I'm going to try.
All right.
It's whatever.
Okay, so.
The ceiling is the roof.
And you're going to do that once a
Thank
show.
You, Nick.
You guys
and then you're going to point out what we do once a show. See how this is just...
You want to take us to break?
I mean, if you...
I don't know why I played that.
I don't either.
Yeah. Big hammer.
It felt appropriate.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be going to break, aren't we?
No, we just got
what
back.
What are you talking about? We just came back. Hey, thanks for joining us, Nick.
What on earth?
Did I bring us back from break? Or
yeah, you sure did.
Oh, my God.
Thank God this is our
Shaq's
last segment.
Son is Shaquille O'Neal?
Is that the one that had the heart... condition?
He's 16. I don't know.
Nope. One that went to, he was going to Arizona and he transferred out before he even signed up there. He got out of his commitment and he decided to go to UCLA instead.
Okay.
So he should be on UCLA's roster this year. If you do want to look that up, that's on you.
I was just curious.
Now people are bringing up Dwayne Wade's son. And
I believe that that's actually accurate too, but I don't know.
Well,
sure.
I've heard that, but let's not.
Yeah, let's not. Right?
That's a little low class there, suspects. Let's stay somewhat classy.
Let's just stay with the text that said kind of harsh. Barry LeBron's other son's 11 years old. I'm just tired of you doing that, just bashing children. And because you don't want
to
have
you're going
to
go back to that, even though it was Nick. You're going to go back to that again?
No,
I'm addressed
Nick,
that.
It was you. You guys with this now? Motley Crue, Def Leppard, and Poison doing a stadium tour. In 2020, Motley Crue, who pulled an Eagles and decided after saying they were done after their last tour, they're coming back.
Need that
Joan
money.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts now to open for Motley Crue, Def Leppard, and Poison.
Yeah, because nothing screams rock and roll like a bunch of 60-year-olds on stage.
First of all, you know the speakers are going to be turned up so loud that when they can't carry the tune or hit the notes anymore, that's the AC/DC. When I worked at Toyota Center and AC/DC toured the last time, the people in the building said they had the volume levels turned up so high on every speaker so it was almost to the point of distortion so that you couldn't tell that Angus and everybody couldn't sing, couldn't hit the notes, couldn't scream like they used to. And yet people, they loved the noise part of it.
I just don't understand why you'd want to see a bunch of old dudes.
I mean, I've seen Motley Crue and Def Leppard and Poison in concert enough times.
Great, in their heyday.
Yeah, to say that I don't need to see them again. And yeah. I understand, you know, I'm a big Crue fan.
Yeah.
But I think they've already lost their fastball enough that I don't want to see them again.
It just depends because there are some older guys that do still have it. Like I think I've been told by multiple people that Billy Joel, whether you like him or not, performance wise, he's performing like he's 30.
Oh, he's fantastic. He's in New York. He's doing 7 nights at the Garden, like 7 straight nights, selling every single one of them out.
But if you're slowing down, like when Madonna was like performing at the halftime show and she's like tripping and looking old and, you know, slowing down.
Like, I'll be honest, I didn't think Joan Jett was alive till I saw her with Carrie Underwood on the NFL Opens on Sunday Night Football.
Was that Joan Jett or Pat Benatar?
I think it was Joan Jett.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure it was Joan Jett. She was playing the guitar and everything.
Pretty sure.
But you know what? I also used to get them kind of mixed up. I'm totally with you on that. Yeah.
I don't know the difference.
Yeah. One of them went completely off the deep. I think Pat Benatar went kind of off the deep end.
Did she?
Yeah.
Like, now I got to Google is Pat Benatar alive.
Yeah, but I think that Pat Benatar has a son, daughter that's rather, well, they're modeling or something like that. But yeah, I'm not going to, and a stadium show. That's when you know too, because the intimate venues, that's again where you're going to get the best sound, the acoustics, all that stuff. Stadium shows. I don't know if you guys saw the last stadium show.
Isn't Vince Neil like 400 pounds?
No, he was. I think he lost.
I don't want to see that.
But I'll tell you this again. Look, the laser show part of Def Leppard's concerts, they're actually showmanship around their show wasn't just like the band taking the stage and just playing. They're like the lasers and a lot of the modern technology Def Leppard used was good. The fact that Tommy Lee and what his drum set was going to do and the things that they did with pyrotechnics and everything else when they were on concert, like his drum set used to go from where it was,
up
over the stage, do 360s, spin like on a roller coaster track, and he was playing the whole time. So impressive.
Yeah, and the Def Leppard drummer's going, and I got one arm.
I see.
So what's more impressive?
People thought it was critical of us to use the girl from This Is Us, and then you went to the Def Leppard one-arm drummer.
You tell me what's more impressive. This guy up here doing his little flips and his tricks, one-arm drummer, way more impressive to me. What?
Okay.
It is.
Nick, you want
to
chime in?
It's a statement of fact. What's more impressive to you, Joel?
Nick, can you identify?
A one-arm drummer or Tommy Lee, a three-legged drummer, doing his little spins?
I mean, you play with one leg. That's pretty impressive,
Joel. What's more impressive?
I think it's impressive.
It's very impressive that Def Leppard drummer was able to overcome the car accident and losing his arm to drum for the band again.
Exactly.
For sure.
Thank you. So I was right.
No, I mean, go again.
No, you just agreed with me.
Right, I'm saying that.
Can't
they're
say
both
no.
impressive. Go watch one of those tour videos where Tommy Lee doesn't, like you said, didn't miss a beat while the drum set is going like over, spinning in circles and going upside down and all crazy stuff, he's still drumming.
And it's a fact he uses his penis to do the bass drum. That's a fact.
Nick, can you name
He doesn't even have to use his right
four
foot.
Artists?
It's a fact.
Without looking them up. Without Googling
them. Without looking them up.
Name a song.
Joan Jett.
I Love Rock and Roll. Come on, Nick. You got this.
That's our easy one. Motley Crue.
I know their music, but I couldn't remember.
Shout out to the Devil.
Dr. Feelgood.
Dr. Feelgood is probably the one I would know.
Girls, Girls, Girls. Smoking in the Boys Room.
Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yep. Def Leppard.
Pyromania.
Pyromania.
Rocket.
Rocket.
Yeah.
That's your Def Leppard go-to?
Animal. There's all kinds of...
Animal?
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's
Def Leppard's fantastic.
Yeah, but...
Photograph.
Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yeah, that's probably their biggest of all time.
Pyromania.
Yeah.
Yeah, Photograph. Yeah, yeah, those... Animal.
Look it up, dude. Poison, Nick.
I couldn't list you a song.
Is that Sweet Cherry Pie?
Or no, that's...
That's Warrant.
Yeah, good try, though.
Ooh. No, Every Rose Has a Thorn.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Almost lost it there.
And Nothing But a Good Time.
Yep.
There you go. Nothing But a Good Time when you listen to The Usual Suspects. That's what we do here on ESPN 97.5. So we're going to do it again tomorrow. Are we going to do Throwback Thursday, or are we just going to scrap it for this week?
No, because Barry forgot, so no.
I'm with you. I think the fact that Barry let us down.
You know what my favorite thing is? When people text the joke that I just made. That's my favorite thing.
But did they say that you can use it? Because if you need it, you can use it.
Are we doing a Throwback Thursday? Because if so, okay, good. Thank God.
All right, so we're off for the week.
Don't have
to worry
about
that. But we will be back tomorrow. And then Friday, remember we're going to be in Beaumont for our last Beaumont show.
That's going to be fun.
Of the year. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
You bringing your sticks?
I actually should, but I'm not because I haven't played in so long that it's not going to matter.
Well, they'll have them there for you, right?
Yeah, but I'm sure they're not going to be.
You going to bring your putter?
They're not going to be like, no. They're not going to be brand name.
I swear, if you wear a golf glove to do the show.
Granato does these things. Like, Granato did this one appearance where they literally played a tournament indoors on an indoor golf range.
Yeah.
And there are dudes, like, using their clubs and hitting the right irons and distances and the whole work. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be like that. And I know it's not going to be like with the Blitz. It would only be us if anybody did it.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. All right, so last show in studio tomorrow in Beaumont on Friday. Hope to see you there if you get a chance in the 409. But until then, have a great night, everybody. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Stay tuned. Blitz is next. ESPN 97.5.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store. Or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.